very simple. It's like how you laugh, fine. Shake your
channel.
Is that a Tivara?
It's an awful cake as well. Anybody wants to spare 95% of it's probably left. You feel sorry, huh? Your heart bleeds for me, Ronach. I could just feel it. Shkeh, thank you. You know, I think you should pay like 100,000. Right, just about to say. 100,000 shekel a year and I'll join, okay? Without the cake.
100,000
shekels
and cake.
No cake. I'll do without the cake. Yes, back to our topic.
That's the icing on the cake.
That's the icing on the cake. This is the real cake. Zot the Tor. Sorry, I need to share with somebody. I'm afraid I didn't have a chance to print it up. Oh, you want to write notes though?
It's okay.
Okay, so we saw yesterday, number one on the sheets, the Torah. The Torah said that if you take off your talus with view to put it straight back on, without view to put it straight back on, then obviously you have to make a bracha when you put it back on.
Is it going?
I think so.
Open it.
Just check. Yep. So if, again, you take off your talus, you have no intention of putting it back on, and then later on you decide to do so, obviously you have to make a new bracha. That was straightforward, non-debatable. Avol, top line, im hoyo daitoi leloiv shoi miyad, if he did have view to put it back on, so he takes it off, he's just going into the bathroom, for 5 minutes he's going to come back out, he's going to put it straight back on, then he says, bezeh ani mistapik, that yet a sofik. And he said, there's ponim lekan o lekan. On the one hand, he said, we could compare it to tefillin. And we know the halacha with tefillin is that if they slip out of place, you're mamashmesh in the tefillin, and you make a bracha. So l'chayra says the Torah, on the one hand, you could say that kol shekain in our case, that you'd make a new bracha. Why is it a kol shekain? Because you took it off completely. The tefillin never left completely, they just moved slightly out of place. Then the Torah says, but on the other hand, it's not quite true, because at least when the tefillin slipped out of place, you had no idea. So if you had no idea, you cannot say that when they left, you had view to put them back on. It's not true. When they left, you had no idea that they fell off. But if I take them off, either my tefillin or the talus that we're talking about, with view to put them straight back on, then we could certainly put in a good argument that you would not need to make a new bracha. And the Torah concluded, Olazeh daiti noiter. This is actually the way that my das leans. In other words, I am veering at the moment in the direction, says the Torah, that you would not make a new bracha. Why would you not make a new bracha? Because when you took it off, you had view to put them straight back on, and therefore there was no real hesach hadas. You never took your mind off this at all. Aye, tefillin, we see that you do have to make a new bracha, but there you were masiach das, because you never consciously planned on putting it back on. Says the Beis Yosef, number two on the sheets. As we mentioned yesterday, the Beis Yosef is essentially a pirush to the Torah. Essentially, he brings makoiris. That means his job is to cite the various sources for the Beis Yosef, for the Torah. But in addition to bringing sources, he will also bring additional opinions. And thirdly, he will also comment, question, query, disagree, agree with the Torah. And that's what we're discussing now. Says the Beis Yosef, Eini yoideya, I do not know, ma olo al daitoi, what occurred to his mind, lehistapik bekach. I don't understand the Torah. Now, the Beis Yosef is going to quote a Gemara that we just learned, which is why we're looking at this. Doha behedya. Because quite clearly, Omrinon, Perek, Lulav, Va'arova. We quite clearly say in the Perek of Lulav that Rava, the Rava have a makdim v'koi, he would get up early v'ayil lebeis akise, and he would go to the bathroom v'nofik, he would leave u'moshi yode, he would wash his hands u'manach tfilin, and he would put on his tfilin u'mavarech, and he would make his bracha. The Gemara quite clearly says that when he needed to go to the bathroom again, once again he went to the bathroom, and he left, and he washed his hands, and he made a bracha. Umashma vadai, says the Beis Yosef. Certainly the implication is Shehoya maniach tefillin kol hayom. Quite clearly, he essentially wanted to put on tefillin all day. He had to take them off when he went to the bathroom, but essentially, he was interested in wearing tefillin all day. Ukeshe meisir oisam. What does meisir mean? When you remove them. When he removed them, kedei likoneis lebeis akisei, in order to enter the bathroom, vadai, certainly hoyo, this was al das, with view, lachzoir ulahanichom miyad kesheyetze, to put them back on when he left. In other words, the Beis Yosef is making an assumption over here, but it's a very fair assumption, that Rava didn't all of a sudden leave the bathroom and think, ah, I have an idea, let's put the tefillin back on. That's not what happened. Rather, what did Rava want to do? He wanted to wear tefillin all day. So it wasn't a brand new idea to put the tefillin on when he came out of the bathroom. Rather, when he went into the bathroom, he was always planning on doing that. So why did he make a new bracha? Va'afilu hachi, and nonetheless, hoyo mevarech. If that's the case, v'hu adin letzitzis, the same thing will be with tzitzis. So now, let's just explain this again. The Beis Yosef is making an assumption. That's what he meant, u'mashma vadai. Meaning, in theory, what would be in the following case? Imagine Rava is in shul, or at home for that matter, wearing his tefillin, and then he needs to go to the bathroom, so he takes off his tefillin. Fine. And he is not planning on putting them back on when he comes out of the bathroom. Finished, I've put them on once for the day, that's good enough for me. Then he comes out of the bathroom, and he all of a sudden decides, you know something? Change of plan. I'm going to put my tefillin back on after all. What will be the halacha then?
Make a bracha.
Obviously, you have to make a bracha. Why is that obvious? Because you're masiach das, because when you took them off first time, what was he planning on doing?
Leaving them off.
That's like the Torah began on the very first line when he says, if loy hoyo daito, if you did not have you to put them back on, your tzitzis, your talus, then obviously you've got to make a new bracha when you put them back on. So now back to the Gemara. It says that Rava went to the bathroom, washed his hands, put on his tefillin, made a bracha. Later on, took off the tefillin, went to the bathroom, washed his hands, put them back on with a new bracha. What was the story? Was the story that Rava essentially, when he went to the bathroom, had no plan to put the tefillin back on, and he changed his mind?
No.
Says the Beis Yosef, I'm making an assumption that that's not the case. I think it's perfectly fair to assume, if this is what he always did, he didn't keep on changing his mind. Rather, the plan was always essentially to wear the tefillin all day. If you go to the bathroom, you can't wear the tefillin. Fine, so he took them off and put them back on. But it's not like he changed his mind, or he had das not to put them back on. To the contrary, he jolly well planned to put them straight back on as soon as he could. And yet the Gemara says that what? Then make a bracha. Says the Beis Yosef, therefore, I don't understand what is the Torah's sofek. The Torah knew Gemaras. He didn't know the Gemara and Sukkah. He knew the Gemara and Sukkah. Says the Beis Yosef, we have an explicit Gemara that in this case you would have to make a new bracha, despite the fact that what? That you were planning on putting the back on. A new bracha. Says the Darkei Moshe in number 3 on the sheets. Remember, the Darkei Moshe is written by the Ramah, which is the precursor to his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch. Va'ani oimer, says the Ramah, I say, She'ein hanidoin doimer l'raya. The case, nidoin, after the word don or din, being judged. The case in point is not doimer to the proof. You cannot compare talus to tefillin. The Beis Yosef is coming along claiming that what? That we have a mafurash gemara that says you have to make a bracha again despite the fact that you were always planning when you went into the bathroom to put them straight back on. Says the Darkei Moshe, the nidoin, the case that we are judging, we are discussing, is not doimer to the raya. It's not doimer to the proof at all. Why not? So here we have an important shayla. When you go into the bathroom, must you take off your tefillin?
Yes.
Yes, you have to. Why? Why is it a bizayin? So? Because tefillin have kedusha. Why do they have kedusha? Because they've got parasha, Shem Hashem in them. Tzitzis, talas, do you have to take them off when you go into the bathroom?
No.
No? Me'ika, adin, you do not need to take them off. Why should you take them off? Nothing kaddish about them. Tzitzis don't have kedusha. Mitzvahs do not have kedusha. The names of Hashem do have kedusha. In which case, tefillin, it's not optional, it's mandatory. You have to remove them when you go to the bathroom. Talis, tzitzis, you don't. And the biggest proof of the pudding is, we're all wearing tzitzis. You're wearing tzitzis, Reb Nachum? When you go to the bathroom, you take off your tzitzis every time? No. So what's between tzitzis and talis? No difference. I'm learning Beis Yosef at the moment. 500 years before the Mishabra. So there's no difference between talis, tzitzis, lulav, etc., etc. Items of a mitzvah have no kedusha. You can take them into the bathroom. Me'ika hadin. Says the Beis Yosef, the Ramah, if that's the case, then there is a very essential difference between tefillin and tzitzis. When you enter the bathroom with taking off your tefillin, then what?
You have to take them off.
You've got to take them off, and therefore it makes sense that when you put them back on, you've had an absolute break. Because you had a short while where you were not allowed to wear tefillin. Such that when you put your tefillin back on, it's a brand new hanochas tefillin. It cannot be viewed in any way as a continuation of the old hanochas tefillin. It can't be considered a continuation because you went via a 5-minute period where you could not wear them. Whereas talis, even if it happens to be that you took them off because of and that's what I did, and I never for one moment was ever forbidden to wear them. So, that Gemara's not talking about tzitzis. What's it talking about? Tefillin. That's a different story. That's not doimer to what we're talking about. So let's see the Darkei Moshe again now. Va'ani oimer, says the Darkei Moshe, she'ein ha'nidoin doimer l'raya. I don't think that the case that we're judging is comparable at all to the raya that you brought from the Gemara in Sukkah. Doha sam gabat tefillin, because with regard to tefillin, shehutzrach lechaltson, it was necessary to, what does lechaltson mean? To remove them, like a chalitza, where the woman removes herself from the man. Where you had to remove them, why did you have to remove them? To osa likones bohen, because it is absolutely forbidden to enter with them, lebeis akisi. If it is osa to enter the Beis HaKisei with your tefillin, v'loi b'dayte talia milsa. Therefore this matter, milsa means the matter, this matter is not dependent on his das. Why is it not dependent on his das? Because whether he likes it or not, you are forced to take them off. Irrelevant of what you're planning to do afterwards when you emerge back out of the bathroom. Totally irrelevant. As long as you are in the bathroom, it is osa to wear the tefillin. V'lav b'dayte talia milsa. This matter is not dependent on his das. Ulochein, therefore, sarich lachzer ulavorich. Therefore, you have to go and make a new bracha. Here come the most key words. De zehu hava hefsek. It's an absolute enforced break. Why is it a forced break? Because you have to tear them off, irrelevant of your das. Aval, but what would be kishemei sir hatfilin? Imagine you would take off your tefillin b'mokoyim in a place sheloi hoya tzarech lahasirom. Well, you didn't have to take them off. Imagine you go home and you're eating breakfast. So you take off your tefillin with you to put them back on. Now, you have to take off your tefillin when you eat breakfast? No. V'daitoi lelovshon miyad. And he had das to put them back on. What would we say? Ein tzarech lachzer v'levarech. Why not? And therefore?
It's continuous.
There's no hefsek. There was no hefsek. I took them off. But I wasn't forced to take them off. Therefore, it's all dependent on my das. Are you planning on continuing or are you not planning on continuing? Whereas when you're forced to take them off, it's not dependent on your das because the hefsek is compulsory. Says the Beis Yedakim Meshavu Hadin. So too, Gabi Tzitzis. Afal gav, even though de mesiron, even though he removes them, mishum, because sheroitze likones lebeis hakisei, even though he removes them. Why? Because he wants to enter the bathroom. But unlike tefillin, meachar, since de loitzorech lasiron, since he does not have to take them off, loy choshiv, hefsek, I'm sorry, that's not considered a hefsek. Therefore, ve'ein tzarech lachzer olavorech. Therefore, you do not need to make another brocha kedas ator. I concur with the opinion of the Tor. The Tor says, essentially have a sofik, but then he was machriya the sofik. He says, I lean in the direction that if you had das to put them back on, what's the halacha?
No
brocha. Says the Beis Yosef, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's a mafurish gemara with tefillin that you do have to make a brocha. Says the Darkei Moshe, it's true with tefillin you do have to make a brocha. That's only because you enter the Beis HaKisei and it's also where to wear the tefillin as long as you're in the Beis HaKisei. So that is an absolute hefsek. But if you would take off your tefillin when you weren't be'etzem, you were not essentially obligated to do so, or tzitzis in every scenario, even the bathroom, because that's also considered that you're not really mukhiv to take them off, it's not considered a hefsek. So therefore it's all dependent on one thing. What is it dependent on? His das. And if his das was to put them back on, tefillin after breakfast, or tzitzis after the bathroom, says the Darkei Moshe, I would agree to the Torah that what? So it would seem to be that we have a very big machlekas lahalocha between the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe. When you take off your tzitzis to go to the bathroom, with view to put them back on when you go out of the bathroom, just make a bracha or not? Says the Beis Yosef that what? You do. As far as he's concerned, it's a mafurish gemara, at least with regard to tefillin. Same is held true with tzitzis. Says the Darkei Moshe, it's not true. By tefillin, that might well be the case, but not so with tzitzis. So how do we paskin halacha lemaisa? What would we expect it to be halacha lemaisa now? From machloikas to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, Sfad and Ashkenazim. And guess what? It is. Look at number four on the sheets. Shulchan Aruch, Oir HaChaim, Simen Ches, Sif Yudalet. And it says, Im Poshat Talisai. If somebody took off his talis, Afilu, Hoyo, Daitoi, Lachzoir, Ulehis Atif, Boy Miyad. Even if he had view to what? To put it straight back on. Tzorich Levorech, says the Shulchan Aruch. You do have to make a bracha, Kishayachzo, Ulehis Atif, Boy, when he goes back to put his talis back on. This is the Beis Yosef, this is the Shulchan Aruch, it's the same person. Okay, what does the Ramah say? Hagor, the Ramah in his notes, the Shulchan Aruch says, V'yesh oimrim, she'ein mevarachin. You would not make a bracha, im hoyodaitoi, lachzer velis atif boy. If indeed, you had view to put it back on. He brings an alternative opinion. Some say that's only if you at least had a tzitzis on you, talis cotton. And that is our custom. But either way, it's a machlekes lahalacha between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which follows suit from what they both respectively wrote in the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe. Everybody agrees that what's the halacha with regard to tefillin? What happens if I come in for breakfast? I take off my tefillin and I put them back. What's halacha?
Because you could grab them over breakfast.
The Kunta Shulchan Aruch, you'd make a new bracha. Because the Kunta Shulchan Aruch, it's irrelevant whether you did have to take them off or didn't have to take them off. If you took them off, that's it. Game over. But according to the Ashkenazim, the Ramah, how would we paskin?
No, bro.
Now, this is extremely neger. This is extremely neger. I'll give you an example. Somebody is making a bris. The minhag is that the Avi HaBen puts his tefillin on for the bris. So, if the bris is being held immediately after davening, so he doesn't need to now put on his tefillin because he's wearing the tefillin anyway. But imagine the bris is not immediately after davening. Everybody has to go 5 minutes down the road. There's a simcha hall and the bris is being made there. For whatever reason, you don't want to walk through the streets wearing your tefillin. It's in chutz la'aretz, maybe it's inadvisable. So you're going to take off your tefillin in shul, but you have absolute view to putting them straight back on in 5 minutes' time in the simcha hall for the bris. What will be the halacha? Machlekes. The Shulchan Aruch will tell you new bracha, and the Ramah will tell you no new bracha. Why not? There's no hefsek. Yeah, but you took them off. Say it. I didn't have to. What happens if in the interim 5 minutes you went to the bathroom? Even according to the Ramah, you would have to make a bracha. What about on the talis? Would you have to make a bracha as well? No. That's what comes out of halacha lemaisa. It's a very important halacha. And this is, by the way, halacha lemaisa. If somebody in the middle of davening needs to go to the bathroom, so he takes off his talis and tefillin. When he comes back, comes out, he has to make a new bracha on the tefillin. Because that was considered a hefsek, because you're not allowed to wear tefillin in the bathroom. But on the talis, if it's straight away afterwards, and you had das to put it back on, you do not make a new bracha.
How long can das last?
So that's a good shame. Say that.
Mincha
bris. Right, so that's a different question. Yeah, so from Shachris to Mincha, obviously that's considered a Heschadas. So normally, you say 20 minutes, half an hour. That's considered a Heschadas. So you're right. If you're making the bris at 11 o'clock in the morning and Shachris was at 8, then according to all opinions, of course you'd have to make a bracha on your talis. Why? Because then absolutely that's considered a Heschadas. No question about it.
Well, since the Mishnah Berurah now says you have to...
You don't have to. The minig is we take off. Didn't say you have to. I'm saying I'm bringing a proof. You keep your tzitzis on. Don't The meaning is we take it off for whatever reason, but you don't have to take it off if it's not considered as chadas.
I have a very bad memory, but in chutzra, I just don't remember where it tells them to fill in during the bristling.
Yeah, it should.
Or it should.
Salkoponim, this is what emerges, halacha lemaisa. Very, very important halacha.
If your talus falls off?
So that's a good question. Very good question. No, you tell me.
It seems like you would have...
You'd have to. It's like tefillin, you're a mashmashit.
You'd have to make a new bracha.
Essentially, that is the halacha. If your talus slips off, I want to put it back on, pashtas, make a new bracha. That is like the Gemara, or like the Torah, but the Torah quoted, you have to be a mashmash your tefillin if it slipped out of place. Kolchkein, a talis, it fell off completely. So I remember I was once in a shul on Simchas Torah, and somebody was dancing vigorously, and his talis fell off. It quite often happens. So there was a Talmud Chacham there, it was in the Grohl shul. He said, oh, stop. This guy was just, you know, hardly without even thinking about to pick up the talis and put it straight back on. 1 second, you have to any bracha, nafal talis. Unless you're going to tell me, he said, Simchas Torah is different. Because Simchas Torah, when you put your talus on the beginning, you knew full well that it might fall off. So therefore, when you put it on in the morning, it was with view, come off and on and off and on. So as far as I remember, this is a story that took place many, many, many years ago. But as far as I remember, that's what Reform felt paskant. Do not make a new bracha. Because when it comes to...
That's a long time. That's more than 20 minutes.
No, because there's no gap of 20 minutes between the levishas. You never had your talus off for 20 minutes. One bracha can keep you going all day, of course. Somebody puts on tefillin the whole day, he makes one bracha in the morning, that's it. No point, that's no problem. The question is, do you take it off for 20 minutes or half an hour? That's the question. Okay. Back to the Gemara, so that was a very, very important topic that we just saw, halacha lemaisa. Zot the Gemara. Va'af Rav Sovar Kol Shiva Mitzvah Lulav. So remember, we had a whole discussion, backwards and forwards. When do you make a bracha on the mitzvah of lulav? On the first day, every day. And there was a big argument to say that you only put on the first day. Why? Because the other days are all drabonon. And if there's a drabonon, maybe you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah drabonon. We saw, however, there are opinions that held that you do make a mitzvah, a bracha on mitzvah drabonon. Says the Gemara, that's what Rav holds as well. Va'af Rav Sovar. Rav also holds that Kol Shiva Mitzvahs Lulav, all 7 days on the Mitzvah of Lulav, you make a bracha. How do I know that's what Rav holds? The Omer of Chia Ba'ashi. Because Rav Chia Ba'ashi says, Omer Rav, in the name of Rav, Hamadlik Neir Shel Chanukah, whoever lights the Neir of Chanukah, Tzorich Levorech. And what does the word Tzorich Levorech sound like?
It's
come on, you're missing out the main point. What do we see from this statement?
That you have to make a bracha even on the derabanan.
Oh, that even though this is only a mitzvah derabanan, you would nonetheless make a mitzvah, make a bracha. Says Rashi. Va'af Rav Sovar Lo Kol Shiva Bo'i Brocha, the first words on the line, Bo'i Brocha, he would also maintain you've got to make a Brocha, L'mitzvahs Lulav, Va'af Al-Gav D'midrabonon Hu, even though it is merely Drabonon, nonetheless, Bo'i Brocha, it requires a Brocha. How do I know? Because the Omar Rav B'ner Chanukah D'midrabonon Hi, he was discussing the Chanukah, which is obviously a mitzvah drabonon, and he said quite clearly, "Boy bracha." Well, if that's the case, hochanami, so too over here as well. Lo ishnah is no difference. What's the difference between Chanukah or lulav on the second day? Fine. Says the Gemara. Reb Yirmiya Oma. Reb Yirmiya tells us now a very important chiddush. Horoya Neir Shel Chanukah. If somebody sees the Neir of Chanukah, he doesn't light it. He just sees somebody else light Chanukah. Tzorich Levorich. He has to make a bracha. So Rav told us the Madlik makes a bracha. And Rav Yirmiya told us the Roya makes a bracha. Which is, of course, a very, very strange concept. Because if I see my friend shaking lulav, I don't make a bracha. If I see my friend put a mezuzah on his house, I don't make a bracha. Even though I see it, even though I'm a Roya. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to Chanukah, is there a Birkas HaRoya? This is the discussion that Tosus will open up at the bottom of the Omelet. Let's have a look at Rashi. Haroya Ner Chanukah, says Rashi, a very important introduction. Koi, this refers to Al Shaloi Hidlik Bebesoi. He did not light at home. Va'oiver b'rishus harabim. And he's in the Rishus harabim. V'roya oisa, and he sees a menorah b'pischa Yisrael. And he sees a menorah in the doorway of a Yisrael. Why would you see a menorah there? Shem mitzvah lahaniach, because the
Mazel tov.
Okay, we're in the middle of the shiur, we can't interrupt. Big mouth.
Do you okay if I bring another
few? Sure, you have to, of course. Make sure there's some left over for me.
No, there's
plenty. Yeah. V'roya oisa b'pischa Yisrael. And you see the menorah on the Pesach of Yisrael. Shem mitzvah lahaniach v'pesach. Because the mitzvah is indeed to light at the door. So what's the halacha? Sorech, levorech, al, the Bach adds a word, al, re'iyo rishayno. You've got to make a bracha on, the first time you see it, you make a bracha. Now, Rashi just told us a whole bunch of chidushim, let's go very, very slowly. The first thing Rashi told us is, the Birkas Haroya is only for somebody who did not light at home. If you lit at home,
you're done.
Then you've done the main mitzvahs. Obviously, no need to rely on the secondary Birkas Haroya. Now, we need to make a very, 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 very important diuk over here. The halacha is, a lot of people don't know this, and we must know this, with regard to Ner Chanukah and also Ner Shabbos. If I ask you, who essentially is the one who's mechuyev to light Neiris Shabbos or Neiris Chanukah? The husband or the wife? Who is the Chiev on? Answers on a postcard. Who is Mechuyev in Adlokas Neir Chanukah? Who's responsible? Whose Chiev is it?
The Baal
HaBayis. The person who owns the place.
Who are more mechuyev, men or women?
No, they're both.
Wow, is it triplets or something?
Both.
Who's mechuyev?
No,
both. There's absolutely no difference whatsoever in the chiyev of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos or Hadlokas Ner Chanukah between men and women. Practically, who actually carries out the mitzvah? Fine, as we know. So when it comes to Ner Chanukah, the man does it. Comes to Ner Shabbos, the woman does it for reasons not our discussion at the moment. But who is actually mechuyev? The same chiyev. Women have all halachas of Shabbos. Women have all halachas of Chanukah. There is zero difference. Unlike many other mitzvahs that we know that only the man is mechuyev and not the woman. Beseda. Now, imagine this is a very, very commonly asked shaila. we know that essentially the zman to light Hanukkah candles is a shkia, or a bit after shkia, whatever the zman is. So you get the classic Hanukkah shaila, which is, my husband or I'm at work, I'm only getting back 11 o'clock at night, what should I do? What is the simplest answer to that question? I'm not saying it's the only answer. What's the simplest answer to that question? No, that's the least simple answer. Have you liked 11 o'clock at night? She should light, finish. When should she light? At the designated time, Shalom Al Yisrael. Yeah, but she's light. No difference. This bias needs a menorah. It's got one. Who lights it? Who cares? As long as it's somebody who's mechuyev. Don't have your 5-year-old child lighting. But men, women have no difference. Absolutely no difference in the chiyuv. And by the way, the same is true with Adlokas Ner Shabbos. A lot of people don't know this halacha. The wife is in hospital. She's just had a baby. The husband is at home for Shabbos. This is the shayla that this young man had this past Friday night. His wife just had a baby boy, Bernard Bloch's son-in-law. He was in at home, his wife's in hospital. Essentially, if the husband lights at home, which is what he does, that's it, the wife's not afraid for that. What the minig is and what we do, we're not getting involved now in the halachics, halacha l'maisa. Essentially, that's the halacha. So now, we need to make a very, very important deal. Rashi tells us that if you did not light at home, then what? Then when you are in the street, first time you see a menorah, what do? Birkas Haraya. Now please, let's learn Rashi again. Please be medayek the words of Rashi. Look at the words of Rashi. Koi al shaloi. What's the next word after shaloi? How do you translate hidlik? Shaloi hidlik means what? He didn't light. He didn't light. What happens if his wife lit? Is there a birkas haraya for him? It's going to be a big discussion, we're going to soon see. But at the moment, if Rashi would hold, what's the halacha, his wife lit, then I would have suggested, you know what Rashi should have said? Rashi should have added a vav. Rashi should have said, Shaloi hidliku. They didn't light Bebesai. But if they did, who's the they?
He and his wife.
Anybody, him, his wife, his son, his daughter, if the bar mitzvah, anybody in the house, then there's no birkas haraya. Game over. Why? Because he's yotzei the mitzvah. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, shaloi hidlik, singular. Mashma, that if he didn't light, because he's in his office, then when he's on his way home and he sees a menorah in somebody's doorway, he said birkas haraya. Even if his wife did light, which means that essentially he's yotzei his chiyuv, but there would be a birkas haraya. That's what's mashma in Rashi. We always say in this shir, we have to medayek not only what it says, but also what it doesn't say. It does not say hidlikoi, they didn't light. It says he didn't light. Now, what the discussion should be and what the argument is, lakan or lakan, we'll see on the sheets. It's a very big machlokes rishenim. We have to bear in mind this diuk in Rashi. That's the first diuk that we see. Next diuk is, I want to ask you a shayla. The minhag is that we light Hanukkah candles in shul. Can you make a birkas haraya on them? Somebody didn't light a home, doesn't have a home, whatever it is, comes to shul for Maariv. No, that's the first Hanukkah candles he saw tonight. Should you make a birkas haraya? Rashi says, "Va'oiver birshus harabim," and Rashi has a whole lengthy arichus to tell you Hilchas Chanukah that the Malach is, you have to light by the door, etc., etc. Ah, so it's not at the door. It's elsewhere. Then what's the halacha? Maybe there's no Birkas Araya. Maybe you only make a Birkas Araya if you see a Chanukah candle in the correct place. So now here comes a $64 million question. You'll tell me, all right, a shul is not such a great proof. By the way, where does it say you have to light a menorah in shul? Doesn't say anywhere. No Gemara. So Minik, Shulchan Aruch brings it down. So let me ask you a question. You know what the Gemara does say, however? The Gemara says that where do you light your Chanukah candles? By the Pesach. Says the Gemara, Ubishas Hasakona, when times are dangerous, when do you light them then? On your Shulchan. Is there a Birkas Araya there? Bishleim, when it comes to making a Birkas Araya on a Chanukah lights in shul, so you'll tell me, listen, a shul, it's only a minute, it's not really, the Gemara doesn't talk about it, so it's not really the Chanukah candles. Fine, I agree. But if it's on somebody's shulchan, because b'shas ha-sakana, that is the Chanukah candles. So are we allowed to make a diuk from Rashi here or not? Why does Rashi go to such great lengths? It's b'shas ha-rabim, and then a Pesach, is it? It has to be at the Pesach, and it's not at the Pesach, it's on somebody's shulchan, and I won't make a Birkas Araya.
It's just the most common.
Or is Rashi just telling you, being practical, if it's somebody's shulchan, you're unlikely to see it. And you're on your way home for work, you're not going to see what's in somebody's shulchan, but I will see what's outside his front door, that's the whole point. So you're saying there's no diuk necessarily. Okay.
That's the diuk, otherwise why would he say it?
No, he's saying the first opportunity you have.
The first opportunity, the first menorah you are likely to see is a menorah outside somebody's front door. Not in the shul, not indoors.
But if it is
on the shulchan, you say maybe you can make a Birkas Araya. Okay, next question. The Gemara says, and this is a very big kasha, and I leave you with this kasha today. This is a big kasha. The Gemara says in Shabbos that what happens if you have a chotzer with two entrances, two different sides? Here you have your front door, and here you have another front door. Where do you light? Which door?
The one you're using?
No.
Both.
Both. Why both?
Marasain,
chashad. What does chashad mean? It will arouse suspicion. Why will it arouse suspicion? Because you light at this door, then anybody who passes this front door is going to see what? Nothing. What's going on? Why is there no menorah over here? What are they going to say? Oh, this guy doesn't light the menorah. So you have to light the menorah. So a big question. You lit your menorah over here. Fine, wonderful. But you know, you have to light over here as well, because of chashad. So you put a menorah over here. Now, which is the real menorah? Which is the real menorah? Obviously over here. Why do you light over here? Just whatever, to alleviate concerns. You have a fellow who's at work, 10 o'clock at night, he passes your house, he sees a beautiful menorah. Can you make a Birkas Araya on this menorah?
Yes.
And if you tell me that he can't, why can't he? Because it's not a real Chanukah candle. Well, then how on earth is he supposed to know? Every menorah you see, maybe it's only a chashad menorah. What happens if you have two houses? Very interesting shaila. Mr. Heyman. He lives Revivim number 10. His wife at the moment, Mr. Shem, will be back there soon. At the moment is on Nachal Luz. Where do they have to light? Both houses. So there you could say each one is a real menorah because he's living there and she's living there. But if you're living in one place, I just happen to have another house down the road which is not being occupied at the moment. But nobody knows that. You have to light the Pnei HaChashad. So when I walk past and I see your menorah, how am I supposed to know whether this is a real menorah, it's a chashad menorah? So if you tell me it doesn't matter, you can make a Birkas Araya on every single candle, fine. But if you can't, then how can I make on chashad, and how am I supposed to know if it's a chashad? So we've just posed a number of questions. Can you make a Birkas Araya on a base knesses, on a shulchan, on a chashad? Big questions. The bigger question is, as we mentioned before, when the wife lights at home, so he is definitely not mukhuyev to light when he comes back at home. No question about it. Not mukhuyev. He wants to light a mahadrin, mina mahadrin and all, I'm not getting involved in that. But mi'ikra din, one candle does the trick. Does he make a birkas araya, or does he not make a birkas araya? In Rashi, the implications seem to be that it's all dependent on whether he lit at home. But if his wife lit at home, albeit his yotze the mitzvah, you would still make a birkas araya. And the obvious question is, why? If you yourself lit at home, you don't make a birkas araya, presumably because you've been yotze the mitzvah. But if your wife lit at home, you're also yotze the mitzvah. So Reb Nachum's giving me the teretz that what? You're right, you are yotze the mitzvah when your wife lit, but you never saw the candles. So this now opens up the whole sugya for us. Who says there's a mitzvah to see the candles?
When he comes home and lights himself, because he wants to, he's not mechuyev to do so. He says,
but that's mahadrin min a mahadrin. That's different. No. He's not doing it for the main mitzvah, he's doing it because of mahadrin. He wants to be extra mahudin, but he doesn't have to. So you're telling me, yeah, very nice when your wife lights at home your yotze the mitzvah, but you didn't see the neiris. So here comes the big question. You have to see the neiris? Someone who's blind doesn't like Hanukkah candles?
Well, he can't because the mitzvah's prishtam enisa.
So you see there's no mitzvah to see the candles, or the two mitzvahs, one to publicize it to the public and one to see it myself. Maybe you're right, but I've never heard of such a thing. Why in lulav don't we say such a thing? Have to see the lulav. What if I don't own a lulav? I don't own a lulav. Nebuch, I don't own a lulav, but I see you with a lulav. No, let me make a bracha. Birkas araya. So that's going to be the point. See the bottom tesis. And then on the sheets, the discussion on number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 is going to be precisely this point. Who was the Birkas Haroya instituted for? Somebody who himself didn't light at home? Or even if his... but his family did? Or only when nobody lit at home? That's going to be a big question. We will reconvene, Beis Hashem, Thursday morning. Have all in on the table. Are you willing to join the L'chaim?
Sure.